It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94, Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from Mirrorland and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vargas-Devon from The Papere. Sri Lanka on 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lanka content. We'll be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube and the 99.94 app several times every week. So please do rate, review and subscribe. Leave your comments. We'd love to know what you think about what we're saying. And tell all your friends and your family about us. Even if they're not Sri Lanka fans or cricket fans, they might just like the sound of our voices. Thanks for joining Cricket's Conversation. Estelle, we're getting towards the end of this calendar year. At least in the, was it Gregorian calendar? I think that's the calendar that most people kind of live their lives by, which means it's time for the kind of review of the year type stuff. We're going to divide it up into kind of three chunks, right? So we're doing our top batting innings, our top bowling spells, and we'll also at some point we'll do a wider review of Sri Lanka's cricketing year as well. So I suppose this is the first part of it. And the way we're doing it is I've picked my top three batting innings. You've picked your top three. We've also got a couple of honourable mentions in there as well. We haven't spoken to each other at all about what innings we're going to pick. I mean, I mentioned one innings to you that may or may not be my top three. Should we crack on? And I'll let you start with your two honourable mentions.
I've got three, actually. So, Dimuth Karunaratne's 107 versus India in Bengaluru. It's an honourable mention because that pitch was pretty tough to bat on. Both teams struggled to get going. And Sri Lanka bowled out 109 in the first innings. Then Karunaratne comes in second innings. Pretty much, you know, an impossible task winning the game. He manages to put up 107 in those conditions against that bowling attack. I think it was a phenomenal effort from him. I think 200 out of 208, he made 107. So that is my first one. The second, and I don't know if this is recency bias, but Charit Asalankar's 83 not out versus Afghanistan just about a week ago. I think It was an important game for Sri Lanka in the context of the ODI Super League. But more importantly, I think that he had such a tough year that, or tough couple of months, I won't say a year, because he didn't make 100 against Australia in August as well. But just from that World Cup onwards, Asia Cup onwards, he's had a tough time of things. He's been kind of put up on this pedestal as like the next big thing for Sri Lanka cricket. And then he didn't have a good World Cup. He didn't have a good Asia Cup either. So just to see him get some runs in a winning cause for Sri Lanka coming in the lower middle order was pretty good. And the third one, I had to find something to do with Chamari Athapattu. Sri Lanka women's team has had an up and down year, I think, overall. But just the century she made against Pakistan, the only century for Sri Lanka women in the year, makes my kind of honourable mentions. That was a dead rubber, but it was a good effort to get Sri Lanka up to 260 and get a win in that series where on that tour where Sri Lanka went down 5-1.
I'm glad that none of your honourable mentions are my honourable mentions as well, because I think that would have been quite awkward. But I probably should have had that Chamari innings as well, actually. And I obviously, we'll get to this in other episodes, but I think the Sri Lanka women's team at end of the year stronger than they started. And I think now, at least, the good thing is, Estelle, is over the past year, the conversation has drifted from why aren't they playing to actually looking at performances, yep. right? Which means that at least they're playing, which is the first step in the right direction. Well, I'll give you my two honourable mentions. My first one was Patrick de Sanca's 67 against England in the World Cup, in the T20 World Cup. He probably would have been disappointed with the way he got out. He got caught on the boundary, if my memory serves me quite right. It probably should have been a innings that set up a match-winning total, and for various different reasons, it didn't. Which was a bit of a shame. I think he's had a really good year, and he's becoming one of our most consistent performers.
And he started off brilliantly in that game, didn't he? I think he gave Sri Lanka so much momentum in that power play.
Yeah, and he's so young. He's one of those players I'm super excited to see where his career lands. And I still think he's probably three, four years away from reaching anywhere near his max potential as well. And watch him develop almost series upon series. To me, it's brilliant and super exciting. The other honourable mention for me is going to be DDS's 109 in the second test against Pakistan in Gaul. I went back and looked over because there is so much cricket played in the year. I had to go back and look over it, over some of the results and stuff like that. And this is one of those tests which I just largely remember for an incredible bowling performance, which we'll talk about in another episode. And then I was like, how did Sri Lanka actually do this? And he batted really low down, but managed to stick about for a really long time with much of the tail end, and scoring a lot of runs, and then ran himself out. It was actually quite an incredible innings that I think deserves a mention because it's going totally under the radar. You might end up mentioning it later on. We don't know. Should we take a quick break there and let's get into our top three?
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, we are looking at the... me and you have both been tasked with putting out or naming our top three innings from Sri Lanka cricket this season or this calendar year. I want to know now your number three and your number three pick, and I'll give you my number three pick and then we can discuss it.
Okay, so I put down three innings, not in any particular order, but if I was to pick off the three, and I do have a sinking feeling we pick the same three, okay? Number three would be Dinesh Chandimal's double 100 against Australia. You've picked it too, right?
I'll pick that as well, right?
Yeah, so it was just... I mean, he did get a massive chance where he pretty much hit the leather off the ball when he was like on 20 or something, and Australia didn't have any reviews. The umpire gave it not out. He survived. But nevertheless, at the end of that innings, I think he went from like 150 to 200 in something like 20 deliveries or something like that. And he was absolutely nailing everything. And like, Mitchell Starc, Pat Cummins, whoever was bowling to him, the way he was hitting that the ball was just incredible. And it's a pity, I think, for him that Sri Lanka didn't play any tests after that, after that period where they played Pakistan and Australia, because he was in such like sublime form. I haven't seen him in that good form, I think, not in the last couple of years at least. He was just smoking the ball, so that's my number three pick.
So that was my pick as well. That me and you've basically avoided chatting about Chandimal that much because, and in a way, he's possibly the most maligned figure in the kind of current setup, right? Because he manages to get picked for various different squads kind of sporadically. And every time he does, there's just a massive outcry in social media about how he's managed to do it yet again. I know there's various conspiracy theories about which, you know, has he got something over members of the selection committee, or, you know, what does he know about SLC that no one else knows? But I think somewhere in there is a talent. I think he, when you look back at his career, he's part of that kind of clutch of players who very quickly went from being a kind of a younger member of the squad to being a senior member of the squad. And then when we went into decline, when in kind of the back end of 2015, early 2016, he was one of those players who the blame was almost pretty much solely put on, right? And his reputation has never really recovered after that. And it's actually, when you go back and you look at that innings, it's actually superb that probably going into that series, he was the one player where people had the most amount of question marks over, and he's answered his critics superbly there. And I just think on a human level, he has it tougher than almost any other player in Sri Lankan cricket, because people are constantly questioning his presence in the side. But ultimately, you go look at his record, it's actually not that bad. It definitely in Test cricket. And he's got centuries. He scored runs pretty much all over the world as well. And it was brilliant to see him in good form. We've talked extensively over the year about Sri Lanka's issues with Test cricket, where essentially we both kind of feel that the issue is they're not playing enough off it. And that's why we're struggling to kind of get a grasp and get higher up the rankings. But what you do notice when you look back at the results is they tend to struggle in the first test, mm-hmm. and then for the rest of the series, yeah. if it's two or three tests, kind of do all right, right? What was your number two innings pick?
Yeah, just before I go into my number two, like, use him,
yeah.
like, maligned figure, but I think Chandimal, it's like, it almost seems like either you love him or you hate him. He has a massive yeah. following as well. Like, I know you see a lot of the criticism when he does get picked, but he does, on the flip side, have a massive following as well. And it's funny, I work for thepapari.com, as we've mentioned, and we get accusations from either side if we write about him or we post a graphic about him or say something about him. We get accused of, you know, trying to, you know, push his get him in, yeah, agenda. Push his agenda, get people talking yeah. about him. On the flip side, we don't talk about him, or when he scores, he doesn't score, and we put out something, then we get the opposite. So I guess that's how we know that we're kind of in the middle. But it's a funny thing. It's not that everybody hates him. I think it's like 40% of the fandom hate him, and another 40% really love him. So it's a weird one. Yeah. So anyway, moving on to my number two.
Yeah.
This is a tough one to pick, because I don't know whether it should be number one. But I'm going to go with Bhanuka Rajapaksha, 71 not out in the Asia Cup final. Sri Lanka 3 for 36 when he came in. I think we lost two more wickets for very little runs. And he and Manindu Hasaranga managed to put on a massive partnership and get Sri Lanka to a defendable target. The fact that this was in a tournament final, and it helped Sri Lanka get to their first major tournament win since the World Cup in 2014, I think, makes it all the more special. So he's my number two pick. I think if he's not your number two, he's probably your number one, right?
So he's not my number two. My number two pick might end up being your number one. I'm not sure. My number two pick was Dustin Sharlicker's 54 not out against Australia in that 30-20. For me, that was just one of those. It wasn't Sri Lanka's moment of the year. Sri Lanka's moment of the year was winning the Asia Cup final. But it was just the context of it, right? It was what was going on in Sri Lanka politically and economically at the time. it was just that little ray of hope, I think, for a lot of Sri Lankan people. It's difficult for me to possibly say that because I wasn't in Sri Lanka at the time, but it just felt like around the world, the Sri Lankan community and in Sri Lanka were all struggling for something. And then Australia come over and Australia never come over.
Sadly.
They never travel. Yeah, sadly, or thankfully, depending on where you stand. Remember, I've lived my whole life in England, so the bias is difficult to shake. Though I have many friends and family who are Australian, who I love all dearly. It's just the cricket team I have a slight beef with. But I just think the context of that innings and the fact that, you know, I still go, when I feel a bit sad, I still go and watch the highlights of it. And then that little kid dancing afterwards and that hope and joy, it just reminded me of being that age. And when I was that kid's age, Sri Lanka were winning the World Cup out of nowhere. It just reminded me of the great times. It just felt like it was rewinding back to the glory days. And you just felt like maybe on the horizon somewhere, Sri Lanka could start consistently winning, which I still think might be something that could happen sooner rather than later. But more than anything, I think it also was the moment where I felt like actually Sri Lanka are a competitive side and that we can have expectations on this team and we can want for more. Should we take a quick break and then we'll talk about our number ones, which I suspect are the other way around.
I'm Jared Kimber and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
So Estelle, shall I talk about my number one, which is Bhanaka Rajapaksa's 71 not out, and then you can tell us about your number one, and then we can debate it. So Bhanaka Rajapaksa's 71 not out, the Asia Cup final. I think me and you went into the Asia Cup. I was slightly deflated that it wasn't being held in Sri Lanka. I thought being held at home ground gave us a huge advantage. And I also thought Sri Lanka were probably the third best team in it and actually could easily slip to losses to both Bangladesh and Afghanistan. They lost to Afghanistan. Then they went on this incredible run where it felt like they had real momentum. They got to the final, were playing Pakistan. It all looked to be just going the wrong way. And then Bhanaka, who he's had a frustrating career for a lot of fans' perspective because he's kind of got starts and not kicked on when he thought he was going to. And then at that one moment when we really needed him to step up and play the innings of his life, he absolutely goes and does it and smashes it about. And we're all considering, looking into the work of Pastor Jerome and thinking that this is it. I thought that night, I was like, this is it. We're destined to win the World Cup. I just thought it was an incredible knock against all the odds. And I also think you should mention Hasaranga's role in it as well, because he actually played a really, almost slightly surprisingly, he played a sensible innings with the bat. And, you know, provided, you know, was the support that was needed. And Sri Lanka went on and put on a total that they could defend. And large parts of that was down to that knock by Bhanaka, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's not easy for these players, right? They haven't been in those kind of situations. And they know they're coming in, as you say third best team. I would say they were on par with a team like Afghanistan. When you look at the Afghan side now, or the side they featured in that Asia Cup, that's a very formidable side. And both Afghanistan and Bangladesh qualified for the T20 World Cup directly. They were ahead of Sri Lanka in terms of rankings. So
yeah,
just going into that tournament under those conditions and putting on a performance like that in the final, remember, this is the place where nobody wins the toss and you know, nobody bats first and wins the game, right? So as soon as Sri Lanka lose the toss, everyone's deflated. Everyone's like, you know what? It's just not our year. We made it to the final, one step ahead of any what anybody would have expected. So I guess we have to be satisfied with that. But just from that point, and then being reduced to 3 for 36, and I think 5 for 58 or 4 for 58, to go on and then play that kind of knock, I think was, I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when the reason why I couldn't put Dustin Sharlock's knock top for me was because I just thought in 10 years' time, when people look back at what happened in Sri Lankan cricket in 2022, they're going to look at that was the year they won the Asia Cup again. And that's why I thought that knock has more resonance. And he also scored more runs than Dustin Sharlock as well, but I suppose that's kind of slightly irrelevant because both of them ended up not out anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to put your case forward for what you chose as number one?
Of course, I picked Sharnaker's 54. The reason why I picked it above Bhanukar Rajapaksa's was because I think that was the innings. It was a dead rubber. Sri Lanka has lost the first two games to Australia. Australia dominated 37 overs of that game. And then, how much did they need? I've written it down. 59 of 18. 59 of the last three overs. Dustin Sharnaker is in there. I think that innings is what sparked the belief in that team that, look, we can be competitive at this level. I think we saw that in the ODI series that followed, which Sri Lanka won. Australia weren't full strength. But nevertheless, it's a series win, right? That is the reason that I picked him above Bhanukar. First of all, because it was just an incredible knock, right? 58 of 18 deliveries, 59 of 19 deliveries. So I have a little story there. I think I mentioned it in a previous episode as well. So I was covering the game at the venue. And usually we start, or I start kind of writing the match report at around the 15th over of the chase, right? Because I have a few other things to do once the game is done. So I started writing, and of course, Sri Lanka is losing this game. Probably going to finish with around, 130, 140 on the board. And I'm writing this article, and then one flies onto my right over the grass banks for six. Okay, he's getting a few hits in. I continue writing, and that continues happening. To be honest, until the last runs were scored, I don't know how many others felt this way, but like you couldn't believe that this was happening. You felt like every ball, oh no, he's going to get out now and it's going to end. But it just kept going, and he kept just blasting the Aussie bowlers over that leg side. So I felt like just not the innings itself, but what it meant for Sri Lanka at that point, what it did for the cricket team itself, kind of the intangibles in that, the circumstance in which he scored those runs and got that win for Sri Lanka, like, makes it one of the most special innings, I think, I've at least what I've seen live, definitely one of the most special innings.
It was definitely a special knock. And, you know, as I said earlier, I love watching it. I love the commentary. You hear often people say, oh yeah, the top players reckon chasing 50 in three overs is quite achievable, but to actually see it being done on a huge grand scale against the current what were then the current T20 world champions was extraordinary, wasn't it? And yeah, I'm interested to know if you're listening or watching on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, which innings you think is the top Sri Lankan innings for this year. Is it Dustin Sharnaker's 54 not out, or is it Bhanukar Rajapaksa's 71 not out in the final? I think we'll leave it there, Estelle, because we've still got a lot more content to come before the end of the year. So please keep listening. Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.